No, because Michelle asked me Friday night, she said, what are you preaching about? And I said, which sermon? Sermon 1, 2, 3, 37, 38, 39, or 40. Because really, it is such a process. You're always listening and thinking about, is that God telling me to do that or is that myself? So pray for me today. My sermon is pretty straightforward today. I'm completely blessed to be able to be put in this position. Because any time that I'm able to minister and preach, I'm able to dig further into God's Word and know more about Him. God's been exceptionally good to me the last 6 or 8 months. God's been beautiful to me because of a little thing called restoration. If any of you have ever went through a time in your life where you've kind of been ripped apart, you know, God will restore you. And it may not be within a year or 2 years, it may be 50 years, but restoration is a beautiful thing. So I ask right now, as I give this word, that you please do pray for me. I'm preaching this today for only one reason. It's because I love you. Most of you are family. Most of you are good friends. Some of you I've only known for a short time, and I've gotten to be in a beautiful relationship. It's wonderful to go through life with people like us. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's beautiful to see each other in town, to be able to hug on each other or be in each other's homes, and to talk to each other about not just the gossip in town, but what God's doing in your life or what's happening at church. I'm talking about heaven today, not love. I'm not going to do the typical Valentine's thing, love. I think we have a lot of love in this church, and I think there's a lot of love outside this church. I'm preaching about heaven today because I do love many of you. And statistically, 40 to 65% of you will never make it to heaven. Listen to that number. 40 to 65% of you will go to hell. That's statistically the number of an average-sized church. That's what we are, an average-sized church now. That will never make it to the gates of heaven. Last 6 or 8 months, I think a lot about heaven. I've been digging into heaven. I've been scripturally looking at heaven. Last night, me and Michelle and Jamie and Jared, we all drove over to St. James to eat at Sybil's, and we looked at the sky, and the sky was the most magnificent thing. And I think we often look to the sky and think about heaven because there's probably nothing more beautiful than the sky or the ocean. Okay, so we compare it a lot to heaven. And I often tell Jamie, and Jamie often tells me that God, Mom sent that sky for us this morning. No, Mom's not that powerful. But Mom probably did tell the Lord, my son needs to see that today. So, anyway, I want you to picture some things as I'm talking about heaven. I want you to picture this. What is the most beautiful sight you've ever seen? Think about that for a minute. What is the most beautiful sight you've seen besides your wife? Besides your wife, what is the most beautiful sight? Probably some of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen are not what you consider these great big things. When I top this hill from Pat and Chad to see this church, it's one of the most beautiful sights of my life. And it always has been. And Michelle gets really mad every morning when I don't let her drive to church with me. Because I want to take the drive to 185 by myself and see that beautiful sight. Now, there's nothing beautiful about birth. We all know that. But the birth of both my children was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen in my life. Amen. Second thing I want you to think of is I want you to think about who makes you or who did make you feel the most loved and the most comfortable in your lifetime. Now it's a toss-up between two women in my life. And one's in heaven and one walks the earth with me daily, thank God. My mother could make me feel so secure just by her voice. And you know what kind of voice she had? It was loud and shrill. She could make me feel secure and loved just as the woman that I decided to marry came. What makes you feel comfortable? You know, we all have our things. I have hot coffee. I have hot water. And I have quiet time. Why don't you think about those things that you have in your life? We think of all those things and how much peace those things bring us, but none of those things, Hawaii, climbing mountains, being in the ocean, meeting people who are famous, the best concerts in the world. I want to say this, none of it compares to heaven today. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. Today my sermon will be about heaven. And I've decided I've turned into one of those crazy people. And some of you may know me, you know that I'm just not right. But Casting Crowns sings a song about crazy people. Have you ever heard it? Give me a hand up. Never listen to the words of it. I just know it's been talking about crazy people. And so it's talking about people who bring their Bible to work and bring their Bible to church, on church, and who maybe will share the word in the grocery store and talk about Christ with people they don't know. And I realize I'm one of those crazy people. You know, I used to look really grimly or really strangely at those people in town that sat on the side of the corner and had signs that says, "Comes to Jesus, Jesus saves," and people that had bumper stickers, you know, "Jesus saves." And I had a crazy aunt one time who talked to us about the tribulation and Revelation, wanting to scare us, and those were crazy people. But now I realize that those crazy people were just different from me at the time. And now I become one of those crazy people known as Christians. Now I will be reading from the book of Revelation today. Uh-oh. For everybody, if you have your Bible, if you don't, shame on you. I hope you have a phone. One of the last things my mother ever said to me the day I took her to get her COVID test, she says, "Scott, that book of Revelations." I don't know, Joan, if you guys have been in Revelations or what it was right before she died, but she said, "I don't get it." And I said, "Mommy, you and half the other world don't." But I said something that Mark Wilkinson said a long time ago, "In the end, Mom, we all win." That's all right. So I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. If you don't know the book of Revelation, the only way you can know it is to get into it. Revelation was written by John around 95 A.C., Now, John was exiled to the island of Patmos because of his faith in Christ. So he was exiled. He was being persecuted. And during this persecution, God sent an angel to the servant John to tell about Jesus' ultimate triumph. Listen to this. His ultimate triumph over the power of the devil. Okay? The devil is real. You agree with that? The devil is real. And if you don't realize that and you take that lightly, you better start opening your eyes and looking around the world. Someone in this congregation posted something that was so disturbing this week. It was an after-school club for children after school, a satanic club after school. Anybody see that? That's the devil. Many of you school teachers or nurses, we see Satan in our home and homes of children. We see dads not raising their children in Christ, and we see them being torn apart by incest and rape and drugs. We see politicians who are so-called Christian men, they stand on being called a Christian man, and they try to stand on the Word of God, and they're killing our unborn babies, and they're changing the institution of what marriage looks like. And each day there's less of God and more of the world view. More of the world view. I want you to think about daily the things that you see that is not a lens of heaven. Think about the things you see in television, social media, at your job, at your school, where you walk, where it's culture, where it's the worldview, and not anything from the Bible. Before I ask this, before I start reading, I want to ask you some important questions. Do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? That's the first question is. I said 40 to 65% of us. Now, I'm not going to do like 30 years ago. Raise your hand if you don't know. Do you remember, Lisa? That's what they used to do. Do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? So I want you to contemplate that the whole time. Number two, do you walk around life carelessly, thinking about what you want to do and still wonder if you'll ever be able to know how wonderful heaven will be? Do you walk around doing the things that you want to do, and do you walk around with the question of, will I be able to prosper someday and receive the reward of heaven? I want you to think about those two things the whole time I preach. Because that would be lovely if we had a great big amount of people coming to Christ today while the pastor was gone. I would love that. But maybe if it's just one today. Or maybe if it's someone after church who reaches out today. So let's go to Revelation. For those of you who don't know your scripture, that's the last book of the Bible. That's the end of the New Testament. I'm going to go to 21 and 22, and guess what? I'm reading the whole thing. Verses 21 and 22. And then we're going to come back and talk about it. I know what time the Super Bowl starts. 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful, dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. That word every is big, isn't it? There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. I asked you this morning, do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? If you know for sure, you're the victorious. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, many of you are looking at this list, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake. You're thinking, there's none of us in this room. Oh, there's a lot of idolaters in here. A lot of us are worshiping a lot of things. We're not worshiping statues of other gods, but we're worshiping statues of our children, and worshiping statues of hobbies, and we're worshiping statues of things of the flesh. Talking about the sexually immoral, you can't pick up your phone, you can't watch the television without easily becoming part of the sexually immoral. The New Jerusalem, the Bride of the Lamb, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the Bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The walls of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angels who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide as high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurements, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. All the women just got excited. The 12th gate was 12 pearls, and each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was gold and as pure as transparent glass. Isn't it beautiful? I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. What do we know about the sun and the moon? Eventually it'll be gone. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no light there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Anybody who does this is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Remember that question I asked you before? Do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will not need the night of a lamp, light of a lamp, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Verse 6. The angel spoke to John, and he said to him, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sends his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in the scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of the scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy or the scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to do and be holy.'" Verse 12, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may go through the gates into the city. Outside of the gates are the dogs, those who practice magical arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." We're practicing a lot of falsehood, folks. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches." Who did Jesus give it to? The churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. The warning. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Please stand with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a church that these words were given to. And today, as we talk about these words that was given to us in a book that we may not understand, but a book that is given to us to read and analyze, I ask that at this time we think about our salvation. I ask that we think about our sanctification, that time from the time we're born to the time we reach the heaven. I ask that each one of us look at our hearts and see how pure our hearts are and ask ourselves and know whether we know for sure if we are heaven-bound or hell-bound, Father. Be with all of us in this church at this time. Amen. You may be seated. Back to chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7 is basically saying, hope is given, and I'm going to explain it to you. If you look at verses 1 through 7, there's hope here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. So where will God be dwelling? Where with them? With us. They will be his people, and God himself will dwell with them. He will wipe away every tear from the eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. This week, I became so overwhelmed by sickness and death that I fell to my knees and I went to bed. I posted on Facebook about the amount of sickness, death, and mourning, and went to pray and sleep. Has that ever happened to you? At a time in your life where there was so much hurt to see. But in heaven, what we know, he's making everything new. Since the first sin in the Garden of Eden, God has been working to restore earth to its perfection as it was. He sent his Son to suffer and die to overcome sin and death to begin the process of this healing. God has a specific plan to restore each one of us. But by believing in God today, we can receive him into our lives and begin his restoration process. Now, I think there's many here, they believe in God. I believe many here believe in Christ and believe that Christ walked the earth. But what I don't believe is that all of us have made the decision to follow Christ and be a servant for him. Verses 7 through 8 says, those who are victorious will inherit all this. Now, some of you have inherited great amounts of money. And some of us have not and never will. There is no inheritance like the inheritance of everlasting life. Can I get an amen? And I will be their God and they will be my children. But look, there's a but. And I've told you, Trevor's talked about that but before. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderous, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is not a scare tactic. This is not a hellfire and brimstone. My brother-in-law called it last night. This is biblical. This is biblical. Verse 7 through 8 is about two groups. One will inherit a great eternal blessing. And then we know those people that we love, people that we work with every day, family members, best friends. If they don't make the decision, they will die a second death and they will be separated from the Lamb. It's scriptural. Go to verse 22. Back to 22, starting at verse 10. Verse 10 through 27, the city represents the people of God. 10 through 27, then he told me, do not seal up the word of this prophecy, of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong, let the vile person continue to be vile, let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. I am the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. So this represents the people. Some of us here today are members of the church, the bride of Christ. It says, outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts and sexual immoral, or murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And no matter how many times we make mistakes we have made in the past, God forgives us through Christ. And we are brought into an intimate relationship with Him. Let's talk about that intimate relationship with Him. What does it mean to have an intimate relationship with Him? This is audience participation. What does it mean to have an intimate relationship with Him? Huh? Stay just between you and Him. Just between you and Him, not the world. Say it, Joan.
In prayer, and you get to know him and read his words. How are you going to know him intimately if you don't study?
I only learn about my wife intimately by talking to her and listening to her. I can only know my Savior intimately by talking to him and reading about him. What else does it mean to be intimate? In an intimate relationship with him. Closeness that no one else in from the outside can break. Think about what I asked you earlier. What are the most beautiful things you know of? What are the most comfortable things you know? Who makes you feel more secure than anyone else? Do those things even compare to what we just read about heaven? No. I want to go to God resides with us. God has promised us heaven, and heaven is our hope. Last week, our pastor said something that was very simple, and I wrote it down. He said, we are all going to die. We're all going to die. God wants us to enjoy the fruits of heaven, because we're all going to die. And God is selfish. He wants us to eternally worship Him and praise Him. Earlier I asked this question, do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? Do you know you'll be able to experience an eternity in heaven? Do you not ever have peace in your life? That's a question I have for you. It's the only hope you have, is the only hope that you have happiness that depends on this world and not the joy that comes from knowing Him. Let's talk about how to get to heaven briefly. Colossians 3:1. Our pastor brought it up last week. If you want to turn to Colossians 3:1, turn to it. I hope you reread it, talked about it with someone in your household. Colossians 3:1, I'm going to read 3:2, says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." We're setting our sights too often on things not above, but things right here at face value. Verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in," where? "Glory." Romans 10, New Testament. Romans 10, 9, 10. How am I saved? How do I call out to Him? How do I become a part of this church? Romans 10, 9, 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth," not something we do in secret, is it, folks? "We declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be" what? Oh my gosh, that's the loudest we can get it. "I declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be
saved.
For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is," we know it, "but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our God." So if we're living in the world, we know that eternal life is only given through God and not in the world. I've asked you about the condition of your heart. If my musicians would come up. Musicians, if you please come up, I just want you to do this. I just want you to play quietly. I want you to sing. This is not even a time of invitation. This is just a time of contemplation. Something I don't think we do enough of. I'm going to ask you, as you're contemplating, as we listen to the sweet tunes that Brandy plays, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to do some self-reflection. I want to ask you to go over the times in your life, the holes in your life, the times you've been on the ground but not on your knees. I'm going to ask you about the condition of your heart. I'm going to ask you, have you made the decision to follow Christ? I'm going to ask you, will you experience it someday, how wonderful heaven will be? So as she plays, as they play, just let's all together close our eyes, think about heaven and the decisions of our heart, and then we'll have an invitation song.